Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. Glad you could be with us here today. Any day reading the Bible is a good day. Good way to start your day. We are in the book of Deuteronomy. We have come from Genesis to Deuteronomy. We have seen that the original covenant given to Abraham wasn't the Ten Commandments. It was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One of those is a spiritual thing. One of them is an outwardly appearance. Just like Christ came back and said, you know, follow me and get baptized. One is a spiritual thing. One is an outwardly appearance. But in between, the people, the children of Israel, could not follow God with all their heart, not even a little piece of their heart. So they, God put the law on them, and I have just pounded it and pounded it on how binding the law is, and it always ends in death. Christian, look to Jesus Christ for your salvation. Do not look to the law. The Bible says, if you hold on to one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. And that's the way the law is, every aspect of it. And it began with the Ten Commandments, and it ended with volumes and volumes and volumes of statutes. Statutes for every possible thing you can do, every time you could possibly sin, even when you sin and don't even know it, even when you accidentally sin. It was so easy to sin, you could touch the doorknob of an unclean person and sin. I mean, if you want that in your life, by all means, grab a hold of it and live your life, and God will tell you at the end, sorry, but we're separated and you can't be with me. If you hold on to the law and you confess Jesus Christ, you're telling Christ what you've done, the horrible punishment that you went through, the crucifixion, and your great sacrifice just wasn't quite good enough. Chapter 5, Book of Deuteronomy. All right, now Moses, because he was weary and he didn't follow God's specifications on how to give the children the last water from the rock. God said, speak to the rock, and Moses went up and said, I give you water, him and Aaron. And he hit the rock with his staff. God says, because of that, you shall not go into the promised land. You shall see it, but you shall not go into it. So Moses is getting ready to die, and he wrote a book of remembrance. He wants to give these people all the guidance that he possibly can. He writes a total history of everything from them coming out of Egypt, God's law, how to follow it, and he just goes on and on and on. He's getting ready to reiterate the Ten Commandments. He wants them to have this book so that they can remember always exactly what to do, because they are under the law now, and the law is a dangerous place to be. Chapter 5, Book of Deuteronomy. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. Now these things have been told to them over and over and over the last 50 years, but he knows they do not remember anything. One day, yeah, they're all about God. The next day, oh, let's make ourselves a golden calf and go back to Egypt. Depends on what way the wind is blowing and whether there's water enough to feed their cattle. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us. You see that? He made a covenant with Abraham, the original one. Mm-hmm. And he made another one with us because we were not of the same cloth as Abraham. Abraham followed God with all of his heart. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out to the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at the time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up unto the mount, saying, that is reason to believe they did not follow God right there. When God came down to speak with them, they all ran in terror. Mm-hmm. If you love the Lord your God, would you not want to be close to him? And as soon, he was a curiosity to them. He was this thing that Moses said was inside that tent. And yeah, we've seen a tornado of fire, and we see the cloud that comes down. And yeah, it's really cool, and he gives us all these rules to follow, and yeah, we try to follow him most of the time. Really would like to see him one day, and when he does come down and he gets right there where they can be up close and personal, they all run off in fear because their hearts are not following him. I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He's going to reiterate the Ten Commandments now. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Terrifying curse that still applies today. Oh, why do poor little children get sick? Why do young children die? Why does all this hurt in the world, especially among children? Talk to their fathers and their mothers and their grandparents. You know, I will curse the children of those that hate me to the third and the fourth generation. But I tell you what, God is very forgiving God. Anyone can break that curse by believing in Jesus Christ and asking forgiveness. And their children will not have to face that. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. And a lot of that, take the Lord thy God's name in vain, is not specifically cursing, although there are languages in this world that have specific curse words for the Holy Spirit and things. It's absolutely amazing, the evil in this world. But that is primarily, do not swear by my name if it is not true. Because if it's not true, you will be cursed for it.
Another thing I get from that is like saying that you're Christian and you're not.
Right. Yeah, you're putting on the robe and not actually living it and actually wanting it. Right. Yeah, but God does say in here, if it's true, you can swear by my name. I know a lot of Christians are so terrified of that, and it's a dangerous thing to do. But he does say in a couple chapters back, you know, if it's true, you can absolutely swear by my name, but it better be true, because if it's not, you have used my name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it shalt thou not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughters, nor thy manservants, nor thy maidservants, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is written within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well. You know, not only did God put this set aside a day for himself, it's just plain good for your health. You work 7 days a week. See where your emotional side becomes. See where your physical side becomes, your mental abilities. You got to have some rest. Just plain common sense. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. That is an English misprint. That should say, thou shalt not murder. God commands many, many, many reasons to kill in this book. That should say, thou shalt not murder. If you murder an innocent person, you are very guilty. If you kill a guilty person for a specific reason, which God gives many, it is a righteous killing. Thou shalt not murder. Neither shalt thou commit adultery. Neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservants, or his maidservants, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. That's one of the commandments that is so easy to sin. Just an erroneous thought through your head. You're walking by Ahab's tent, and Ahab's wife comes out, and she's a looker. And just a momentary thought, oh, wow, I'd love to be with that woman. You know, there you go. The law has bound you. You are dirty. You have sinned, and you must make atonement.
I think that's why Paul says about catching or basically capturing every thought that comes to mind.
But even he's
casting it down.
Even he said that was impossible. No, Paul said, the things I love, I don't do.
And you still have to cast down the thoughts, though.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you don't, then
you do.
Right. You're letting it grow in your heart.
But yeah, you're exactly right. If you let them continue, mm-hmm. they will take control of you. Mm-hmm. But you also know that the voices in your head are very difficult. The Bible says mind is contrary to God.
Especially these days.
Yes.
Because there's more now than there ever were.
Absolutely. I have argued with the voices in my head before. Yeah. You know, it's just, I'm not insane, I promise you.
No. Every person on the planet has voices speak.
Yes.
Like idealism.
It's the good and the evil.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Nothing crazy about any of that.
These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire of the cloud and the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of the tribes and your elders. Ye said, behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Wow. Could they ever thought that God was dead?
Yeah.
You know, the New York Times, I think it was, printed a headline years and years ago, God is dead.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, then how come we still all have oxygen and we're still walking around?
Well, it might have been Nietzsche, too, also. He was famous for that saying, God is dead.
Right.
Well, God is alive, Nietzsche's dead.
Yeah. We can prove one out of those.
Exactly. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. They're terrified of God. Follow God with all your heart. Abraham stood in the plain and had conversations with God. Mm-hmm. He argued with God. Moses argued with God. Moses laid the blame on God. God laid the blame back on Moses.
Yep.
I mean, God wants a spiritual relationship with you. You know, the fear of the Lord is the first step toward him. Then you understand the love of God. And then you want to be a part of God. And God wants you to be a part of him. He wants you to talk to him daily. You know, this getting on your knees in the evening and praying is fine, but have your prayer all day long. Mm-hmm. In every aspect of your life, talk to him. Just casual conversation. Don't throw in there all this king's language. I beseech thee, O Lord.
Thine thee.
Yes. No, that's not how you talk.
Yeah.
Talk to him the way you are.
Yeah.
Who is that beseeching me?
Yeah.
Jonathan, he doesn't talk like that.
Wait a minute. I just heard him at a gas station a minute ago talking to that person.
Nothing like that. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the Lord, the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as we have and lived? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. We will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, when ye spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of the people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have said well all that they have spoken. Of that there were such a heart in them. Of that there were such a heart in them. A heart.
Mm-hmm.
Reoccurring theme. God wants your heart. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart, because if he has your heart, he has your mind, and he has your time. If he needs money applied somewhere, because he has your heart, he will supply the money, and you will put it where your heart tells you to put it because God has your heart. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. Go say to them, get you unto your tents again. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Follow me. Keep your eyes on me. Because if you turn to the left or the right, you will stray away. Ye shall walk in the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that ye may be well with you, that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Imagine that. You know, the Bible says in Job, the day that you're born is not the day that you will die written down. I absolutely believe that. Mm-hmm. But it says right there, follow me, and you may have your days prolonged. God says, I give you 70 years. You got a good heart, you might get a little bit more.
So he's not just into blotting out, he's also to adding to the story.
Absolutely. Well. Yeah. Chapter 6, Book of Deuteronomy with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. Glad you could be here. God's amazing manuscript, full of the truth of life. Basic information before leaving Earth. Don't go home without reading it through at least once. I recommend reading it 1,000 times. I haven't quite got to that point. I hope I do before the end of my days. It's don't go home. You know, the Father's going to say, did you read my book? He's going to know the answer already. Oh, well, I tried. I listened to it on tape while I was driving around. Yeah. That's not the same. Uh-huh. Read it slow. Read it methodically. Read it out loud so it goes into your ears. And read it over and over and over again. I've read it, this entire Bible, over 100 times in passages, hundreds of times. And every time I read this Bible, I get something new. Chapter 6. Now these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord God commanded to teach you. He might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all the statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thou days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, the heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. What he's saying here is put reminders all over your daily paths. Just little reminders. My heart is with God. My mind needs to be with God, because the Bible says the mind is contrary to God. The flesh is an abomination. God placed the spirit man, he says, in the heart of man. It's not just an organ pumping blood. That is where the spirit of you, the real person, lives. You were placed in this school bus, and you're told to drive it straight down the road. Many of us veer off into the ditches, into the woods, hit trees, but you got to get control of the mind and the spirit man. That's his one mission, get control of the mind and this abominable flesh and steer it straight. And the way that you do that is you stay away from excess, all things in moderation, including food and drink and anything pleasurable, because if you give this flesh what it wants, it will put the spirit man to sleep, and your school bus will be flying down bumpy roads and into ditches, and all over the place.
With a brick on the gas pedal.
That's right. Yeah, brick, that's a good point. Yeah, you don't even have control of the speed of it anymore. It will get control of you. And that's one thing that God puts you here for. This is the testing ground he give you. He give you 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. If you're lucky or you have a good heart, is what it just said. If you have a good heart, he might give you more than that. And it's for a trial, because this is the temporary life. Everybody says, oh, you only live once. No, you don't. The real life is coming. If you waste this one, the real life's not going to be very good for you.
It's so sad that the devil's tricked so many people with that you only live once.
Yeah, thing. Only live once. Go for it.
Yep.
Get all you can get.
Or Nike, just do it.
Just do it, yeah. Get everything you can get, good, bad, or indifferent. Yeah. Get it. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. The house is full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. What did I just say?
Mm-hmm.
The more you have, the less God comes to mind.
Mm. And it's explaining that excess that he gave them that they didn't have to even work for would become the cloud in their mind.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Be careful, Christian. Paul says all things in moderation. All things are legal through the blood of Jesus Christ for the Christian, but not all things are good for the Christian. You must differentiate. You must put things all in moderation. Did God say, thou shalt not drink alcohol? No. But to some Christians, he says, do not drink, period. To other Christians, you're welcome to have a little bit. You know, he says, you are a fool if you're a drunkard. All things in moderation. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are around about you.
13 kind of backs up your point from earlier about swearing by his name.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah, and thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. As long as it is true and as long as it is righteous, absolutely. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. He is a destroying fire. As long as you follow him, life is so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You get off the path, and he has no problem putting you down.
None. And there's no Moses to stand there and say, please, God, no.
Yeah, yeah. How many times did Moses fall on his face, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Please don't kill them.
I mean, even at the point where they started the turn before they even got it out their mouth, him and Aaron was hitting the dirt.
Yeah, well, instantly. They're probably wearing knee and elbow pads all the time.
Yep.
We might have to go down today, get your elbow pads on.
Yep.
You shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that he may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the land good the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, that the Lord hath spoken. Cast them all out, and do not make covenants with them. If you do, they will be a thorn in your side forever. If you cast them all out and make no covenants with them, it will be well with your generations, God said earlier. Watch what they do. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? And thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord showed us signs and wonders great and sore upon it. Egypt upon Pharaoh and upon all the household before our eyes. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Follow the rules, children. I'm not going to be here much longer, Moses is saying. Chapter 7, Book of Deuteronomy. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Gershavites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, and utterly destroy them.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.